talk about her experiences growing up around SeaWorld and getting to love killer whales there, and how she's taken her passion and love for the animals and brought it into conservation and research, not just with orcas, but in different aspects of marine biology as well. I'm so glad you're joining me on this episode, and without further ado, let's dive in.
All right. Hello, everybody, again. This is Fred, the Orca Man, and today I'm here with Kendra Nelson, also known as Intertidal Kendi. And Kendra, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi. Yes, I am Kendra, and I am a marine biologist and just graduated in December. I lived in Hawaii for like 3.5 years getting my degree, but I have a lot of experience with sharks and plastic pollution and invertebrates specifically. Those are kind of the areas where I just have had way more experience in terms of hands-on application of research and behavioral ecology and all that kind of stuff. And I now live in Vancouver, British Columbia, and with the focus of assisting with southern resident killer whale conservation. I have been very vocal about southern residents online since like 2018. And I've become friends with a lot of people in this community and with some organizations out here. And so moved out here and now just chilling.
Lovely. I would say that's the fun part about like right now too. It's very much chilling. Vancouver, for as small as our COVID numbers are right now, they're really cracking down. I know restrictions just came into a new effect too. So that's going to be interesting coming forward. Yeah. And you graduated in December from undergrad, if I'm right.
Yeah, my bachelor's. Oh, bachelor's of science.
Wonderful. Awesome. How long did it take you to do that? Because I've heard of bachelor's going pretty like longer than 4 years sometimes.
Mine was only 3.5. So I did 3 semesters a year. I did a fall, winter, and spring term. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to finish quicker. A lot of students at my school would not do the spring term, would take off and go home. But I usually stuck it out and just did that semester. You had to do it eventually because some classes were only offered in spring. Like coral reef ecology was one of those that I took.
Gotcha.
It's only available spring semester. Interesting. And you need it to graduate. So... but I did it every year just because I wanted to get done.
Well, fair. Well, also too, I can only imagine was it the same amount of time as the fall and the other
shorter.
2 semesters? Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
No, fair. It's like a summer term. Also too, like spending a spring term in Hawaii. That's not bad.
No, it wasn't bad. And no one, and like a lot of students do leave. And so it's not a busy school, but like campus was emptier. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just left. A lot of students just left to go home anyway from the other schools on island. So things were a bit more chill the spring semester.
More than fair. More than fair. I did one summer semester here and it was interesting. Like, it was the same kind of thing. Like UBC is a pretty busy campus, but when it dies down, it's special. You feel a little bit more at home almost. It's a little bit more comfortable. Without a doubt. One thing that you've been posting a lot about recently that I've found incredibly interesting is like your journey with killer whales, right? Like there's a lot of us out there right now who's when it started, like we were children properly.
Yeah.
So what was the first, let's say, time that you can remember or you were told that you're like your parents either saw like, oh, you're really interested in this, or you recognized yourself, if you know.
Yeah. Sorry, there's a spider in front of me.
Oh no.
Hello. It's fine. I'm just watching it. It's on my chips. Nice. 9 months old is first time we have written down. My family lived in Texas. I don't remember where in Texas. But that's where I was born. That's where I was adopted, was in Texas. And so we would go to SeaWorld. Okay, it's getting closer to me. Go away.
Oh no. Get
it's
it. Fine.
It's smaller. I just flicked it. My cat will come get it. Anyway.
There you go.
9 months old, we went to SeaWorld San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And in our scrapbooks, or I guess in my mom's scrapbooks, it was written like Kendra loved the Shamu show, didn't want to leave. We had to watch everyone. And then we'd go pretty often. We always had annual passes. And so other scrapbooks years after, I'll say something similar.
It's amazing. That's the one thing too, is like anybody that I've talked to that has gone down the path of like getting more into orca, it's like as much as we're interested in other oceanic animals, there's a certain part to it where it's just like, oh no, we just didn't want to leave wherever we were.
Yeah.
So you go to SeaWorld, you're like, I can stay here for the day. That's fantastic. And then, because I would imagine too, if like even me as a kid, SeaWorld was the only place that I kind of associated killer whales with until I was like 10 or 11. Like when I was like 10 or 11, I got actually personally adopted, or my family adopted an orca for me from the Whale Museum. And I was like, oh, we know about them outside of this too. And so like that started my journey, I'll call it outwards. Was there a time where you were like, that clicked for you, or was that more consistent thought?
I don't really know. I mean, I also grew up watching Free Willy, so it may have just been an acknowledgement that, because from a young age too, I loved that movie.
Yeah.
And so it may have just been like I don't remember there being like a moment of like, oh, they're in the wild too.
Well, yeah, for me, like I can remember, for the accessibility was the one like biggest thing for me. Cause I can remember growing up and I was like, I want to be a killer whale trainer. And I was like, people see them outside every day. Or like they can see him enough to keep up with them. And that was like that was a crazy thought, personally at the least.
Yeah.
Which is fun. And so you started with Southern Residents more. You said like paying attention to them, started posting about them in 2018. Was there a reason 2018?
That's just when I can like remember that I got really into it, because I got involved with the Co-Extinction Film crew.
Oh, sick.
For the Southern Resident, like they're making their documentary. It's almost done. Woo-hoo. But I got really involved. I had kind of been doing my own thing with a bunch of different conservation efforts. I mean, I started out with plastics and sharks just because that was what I was involved in. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, wild killer whales. Okay. In terms of like turning my attention to cetaceans again, because I just kind of was like, not sure. And then Southern Residents were an endangered population within the U.S. And so I just started posting, and I followed different organizations, and I had this like little t-shirt brand company thing that had like a Save the Southern Residents t-shirt. And so I got reached out to by Co-Extinction to like be featured on their website with the t-shirts and donating proceeds from those shirts to their film.
Cool.
And so that's when I just was like making more content specifically about killer whales, but I didn't have like, it was funny. It was mostly like story reshares, just because I didn't have any pictures at the time of wild killer whales, and I wasn't gonna promote a wild killer whale conservation project with the photos of captive whales that I have.
Fair. It's a little bit different. There's two very specific audiences that you're reaching out to for either one in my head.
Yeah.
Nah, more than fair. And also this one thing I found too is like, whenever I look for images of Southern Residents or otherwise, if they're not taken by me, it's like sometimes finding the photographer is very easy, and other times it's very like, it's a picture that's recycled 15 times.
Yeah.
Very interesting from there.
Yeah.
And when you were in Hawaii, you worked with 4Ocean for a bit too, if I'm right.
One Ocean.
That's so what's the difference between One Ocean and 4Ocean first?
4Ocean is a bracelet company. Yeah. And One Ocean is a shark diving eco tour with a like conservation segment, One Ocean Conservation, where we did monthly beach cleanups all around the island.
That's awesome. And that's where you met Taylor, if I'm right.
Yes.
Nice. For those of you who don't know, actually, you can talk a little bit about the podcast, the talk show that you and Taylor have going, because that's actually pretty neat.
Yeah, so Taylor is one of the safety divers and marine biologists at One Ocean Diving. Oh, the spot. Oh, is it dead? I think it's dead. but she is a marine biologist, safety diver at One Ocean Diving. So she dives with sharks every single day. And she is one of my good friends. She was also the person over me in the One Ocean internship program. Cool. And so we got really close through that. But then she's also just been in the water with me around sharks, has her eyes on, keeps me safe. And so I appreciate that. And that she is a very dedicated biologist in that sense. That is not a job I could do. I am very easily distracted out there. And so we started, I have a podcast, but then she has a YouTube channel. And so on her YouTube, we do marine biology movie club or movie night, where we'll watch a movie and then we'll meet up and like film about it and talk like what we liked, what we didn't like, if any kind of like funny corrections, like we did Finding Nemo. And so we were just like, Nemo's dad should have turned into a Nemo mom because the mate died and that's how clownfish work and all that kind of stuff. And just other issues with like we're going to do Finding Dory and the biggest one will be beluga whale in Australia?
Question mark? Maybe not.
Whale shark in California jumping out of, anyway, like funny stuff like that. Just like, these don't make sense, but it's okay because it's a kid's movie. And so recently we've only done two thus far, which is Finding Nemo and Blackfish. The two coming up are 47 Meters Down and Seaspiracy.
Huge, huge. Little documentary, little fun. I remember.
Yeah, we try to do every other to like buffer between something serious and heavy, because the documentaries tend to be more critical, more heavy, because obviously they're made to be consumed from a more like quote intelligent basis rather than just for fun. Like Finding Nemo is going to have errors because it's a kid's movie and that doesn't matter.
No,
it doesn't. No one's checking what gender the sharks are like we are.
No, that's more than fair. Also, it's like one thing is that the documentaries are heavy too. Like there's a lot of mental energy that goes into sitting down for an hour and going through something like that. That's not the easiest thing in the world. But I give you props for the Finding Nemo, Finding Dory, and 47 Meters Down. I've watched it once. I remember watching it and was like, okay, this is terrifying. At the same point in time in the back of my head with the little shark knowledge I know, I'm like, it's not how it works.
Yeah, the dive, the other issue that we really talked about was the diving, the physics and how wrong they got diving. And she is like a scuba, she's her scuba master and is a very experienced diver, and was we went in on the diving issues because they were a plethora. I don't even think we really covered the sharks that much besides just like, yeah, this isn't shark behavior.
That's more than fair. At the intricacies of like, I'll call it the like the proper mechanisms, at least for the diving. It reminds me, you remember the movie Flushed Away?
Yes. Like I have not seen that. Come here, little spider. I'm going to kill you. Sorry, it's alive. It's not dead.
Oh, no.
I'm really sorry I have to kill you, but my cat's somewhere else. That's too bad. Right, it's dead.
There you go.
Sorry, audience.
It was either Flushed Away or Ratatouille when they were in the sewers. And my cousin, he's an engineer or like works on plumbing systems. And he looked at it, he's like, they got this right. Like for one of them, I forget which one it was. I remember watching it. I'm like, really? Of all the things.
Yeah. I've definitely done that with movies. But yeah, with the shark, like a big one now is like shark behavior. I'm always like, that's wrong. Even like influencers diving with sharks, I'm like, you're not being safe. And it's very frustrating because there's just very obvious and issues that are going on. And you're just like, and with dolphins as well, people who dive with dolphins, I'm just like, that dolphin's being aggressive. That's not cute. But you're going to go viral. So like, whatever.
Well, the one you posted a recent video on TikTok that was like calling out, it wasn't calling out. You mentioned that an influencer who posted a picture, like the picture was photoshopped and you could tell one by her, but two like by the sharks themselves.
Yeah. Well, it was a big reason I noticed was because the photo is like a well-known stock image.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm like 95% sure this is a stock image. Past that, the proportions of the photo were wrong. And I've seen like the very well done photos by the One Ocean photographers. So I was just, and it was literally no shade, but I took it down because people were upset. But I was just, it was just funny because I was like,
oh yeah.
Oh my goodness. Like, I get it. Like sometimes the photos aren't pretty. Viz is bad. The sharks, there's like two sharks. Sometimes we don't have big like schools of sharks a lot of times. I mean, I've been in there with two the whole time, like for a whole hour. And then I've had other dives with like 60. So there's a variety. And so if you don't get the picture you want, you got to edit it apparently.
Yeah.
And so it was just funny. But yeah, I was like, those are sandbars and the way, like how small she is and how big, like this isn't how it looks, but it's fine.
Well, like you said, like that's funny. Like it's not to put anybody down. It's like do what you need to, and it
I was like, at the end of the day, she had a great post. I mean, there was recently another TikTok, just a TikTok influencer that went out and created a very untrue crazy, like, what is the word? Clickbait videos, and that I called out, and he ended up messaging me to take it down because he was whatever. But basically where he was like, I was swimming and snorkeling and then I got swept away and was surrounded by sharks and then I was saved by a boat. But in reality, he went out with One Ocean and the whole time was, and I knew about it before the videos because one of the safeties had like said something to some other people about how there was this weird influencer on their boat who was like filming with his head out of the water, like yelling. And she was like, what? God. And so we kind of knew, and then he made those videos and I called him out, and so did one of the other safety divers.
Fair.
And then he started getting backlash and took the videos down and was like, I'll post a better one, like actually saying what I did. But it was like, damage could have already been done. I know it seems really small, but like, you really created a situation out of nothing. Like, yeah, you were safe the whole time. You had one of the paid safety divers in the water with you who has spent years doing this. And the whole point of the dives is to teach people that sharks aren't monsters and aren't there to get you. And then you make a video that seems like they are.
Yeah.
That was kind of where it was like, dude, like, you did not listen at all to what is taught on the boats. And so it was just, but it was funny. And he's like 18. So I took it down. I just sent him a long message like, dude,
be better.
Be better. It's okay, but be better.
You hate to see it, though. That's the kind of stuff where you sit down and you're like, ah, crap. But I commend you for catching it at the least. It's not the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. Also, too, you have a, like, one of the best, I'll call it, marine bio followings that I've seen on TikTok. When did you start?
I think I started in 2019 when my lab I caught an octopus for our lab, and so I started like posting videos of her because she was funny and those, like, I got like 40k views on a couple of them and I was like, wow, I'm hot shit. And then I did not post for a long time after that.
Yeah.
And or like I just post for fun where I was just like, oh, my cute kitten, look how cute he is. Oh, I went to like Washington and got engaged and like posted that last summer. And then I started like posting more regularly probably in July of 2020.
Okay.
Or August, while I was in quarantine in Hawaii. And then it just was like, oh, I know a lot of people want to do this field, so I'm just gonna start posting stuff about it and answering questions because there's a lot of things that are misunderstood about the field.
Fair.
Or people are really intimidated, or their parents say it's horrible, whatever, that just trying to dispel. And be, and part of it too is everyone's like, there's no jobs, you don't get a job after graduating. And I'm like, there's no major that guarantees you a job day after graduation. It's all on you. I mean, my husband's an accountant and he struggled, and like accounting is, I feel like, one of those majors people are like, oh, there's so many jobs.
You're fine.
But it's like, it matters what you do. And the part of it is a lot of people just go to school and get their degree. And so I wanted to share, you need to be proactive the whole time. And that's how you get into this field. It isn't just your degree. And that's a lot of the problem. That's the mentality. Cause a lot of other degrees kind of work that way. It's your grades that really set you apart. You don't need to maybe have a ton of relative experience in terms of a job or internship. Definitely. They're always encouraged, I think, in every field, but I know a ton of people that never did an internship in their major and had a job pretty easily. And so I was like, that's not the case for this for STEM, and especially for environmental science.
Oh, without a doubt.
Badly, but just to encourage that and bring more attention to it so people can get into this field, but with a realistic idea of what to do.
More than fair. I think the realistic is the biggest thing. It's a, it's one of the most romanticized, I'll call it, degrees that I've seen.
Well, and I definitely played my part in that. I'm also a free diver.
Yeah.
And so a lot of my stuff is from my free time. Like most of my underwater videos are from free time.
Yeah,
I dove like every week, sometimes multiple times a week. And I also was like, oh, look at this animal. And I'd pick it up and make it into something marine sciencey, but it wasn't for my job, which people were like, your job's amazing. And I'm like, this is not my job. It's a part of my life. And like, it applies to what I do, but it is not my job. I'm not paid generally to go diving. There were a few times I was to film stuff for online COVID school.
Nice.
where we would go out and film labs, me and my coworker and my professor. We'd go film a lab and then put it online for students to feel like they were there.
Nice.
So I was paid my last semester I was in to go out in the field, but like once a month. And it wasn't always fun. Like, we woke up at like 3 a.m. one morning just so we could hit low tide. And
so
my professor almost drove us off the road. And we like legit were like, okay, we almost like died right then. And then we got egg burritos and it was fine.
There you go. That's a nice little tip at the end of it.
Yeah. But I was like, it's not, even then, like, it was fun, but I came home. And that was one of the days I posted, I think, my first video that got a million views. I literally came home. Sick. I was like, oh, I told people I'd make like a field work day video. So I made a field work day video. And then I made one that was like, welcome to marine biology TikTok. And it was like all aesthetic stuff. And then I took a nap for like 2 hours and I woke up and I had like 40,000 new followers. And the video had, I don't even know how many views. And I was like, what happened? I literally spent 2 minutes. And the video that I spent like, I want to say 30 minutes making, which was my field day video.
Oh yeah.
Like, I woke up at 3 a.m. We drove in the car, you know, like a day in my life. That one had like 1,000 views. And I was like, are you kidding? The one I threw together got, that's always how it works too. But I was just like,
That's like the crux of TikTok.
Yeah. So I was like, cool. Awesome. And that's when I think I hit 100K from that video.
Nice.
And I was like, wow. Thank you.
It's like, I'll take that.
Okay.
No, more than fair. I can remember in the beginning when I first started, because I started in like January, and I spent, for the first like 10 or so videos, each one took me 2 hours at least. Because I was like, I'm going to think through it. I'm going to try all these things.
Yeah.
And then there was one day where I was like,
think through platform.
No, it's not. I was lying in bed one day and I was like, I was spewing off whatever thought I had. And that one was the one that ended up doing well. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's very finicky. And that's where I'm like, I'm not even going to like try and make some videos that I'm like, oh, this has thought into it. But then I'm like, whatever. I know that video is going to get like, obviously it'll hopefully hit my core audience that are there for information. But a lot of people are just 100%. Like, pretty video, follow. And then I'll lose followers and they're like, oh, never mind.
You're not just pretty videos.
Yeah, I'm not. I am no longer in Hawaii, and I haven't dove for months, so I don't have new footage to show people.
Well, that's the thing about the app too, though. Is like I've found is like reposting is an easy thing, and then more than that too, like it. I don't know. It will take what you throw at it at the end of the day.
I've had some people comment and be like, "You shouldn't post so many of those Welcome to Marine Bio TikTok videos," and I'm like, "That's how I get followers. People, they're gonna be here. I'm still gonna do them." I know they're annoying because I do them like I've actually slowed down just because there haven't been good audios to do them to. Fair. But I'm like, that's what gets people here. And sorry, that's part of my mojo is getting people here and then getting them to stay.
No, there's a duality to it. I remember like there was one that I posted recently. It was a Harry Potter one. I saw the video of the dude who put a sword in his hair and like kept it up as a bun. And that one was for shits. That one was like, it was 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, oh, I can put my hair up into a wand. This will work. Yeah. And it did. And then it was the same kind of thing. I fell asleep and I woke up. I was like, really? It's like of all the ones.
Yeah.
And it was like a crap quality too.
Well, that was the shark exposing one.
Yeah.
Both of them I just made thinking like no one would see them. Mm-hmm. For the one where I was laughing at the one female influencer we were talking about, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is just funny. And I know this. Like, I also work in digital marketing, and so I know this picture.
Of course.
I have used this picture when I was in backgrounds of like Instagram stories and stuff.
Yeah.
Or my marine science club on my campus. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, I just know this photo. And that's how I noticed. I don't think most people would notice that this was a very Photoshopped image.
Yeah.
And then people, it got a ton of views. And I was like, okay, that was not my intention. And then people were going onto her page and like tagging me being like, you are exposed. And I was like, no, don't put my freaking name. No, that's not what I'm doing. I literally, and plus she had even tagged the Photoshop, the person who edited it. So I don't think it was supposed to be a secret that I was like, she's not, I don't think she cares that it's Photoshopped. And she tagged the guy. And if you go to his account, it says Photoshopper. So he's very clearly aware of what he does.
More than fair.
So, yeah, I was like, people.
It's just funny.
And then people were like getting mad. And they're like, why are you taking down another? Why are you degrading a woman? I'm like, I wasn't. This oh my gosh.
Why don't you actually fucking read?
I said no shade, and they're like, no shade, but throw shade. And I was like, oh, whatever. But I was like, it's innocent shade. If someone did it to me, I'd think it's funny.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, I've definitely edited some of my photos, but they're very obvious because obviously I'm not surrounded by like nets all the time.
Affair.
And so I'm like, it's part of it. I haven't like, she's an influencer. Get your coin. I understand that. I have no issue with it. She had a great 100%. Caption too. So like, calm down. So then I just put it on private. I was like, whatever. My friends can see this now.
There you go. I like with those kinds of things, like when I'm already thinking, trying to think ahead for like any situations that might occur. If anything like that happens, it's like you should, anyone shouldn't care unless it's the person talking to you.
Yeah.
Like unless I hear it from her, like, eh, whatever. Like,
yeah, I was just like, I don't think she cares. Like, and people were commenting on her posts far before I even saw it. Like, dude, this is Photoshopped. Someone who is like an editor was like, the light composition is off. Which it was, if you like looked at it made no sense. And so he was like, you don't even need to like understand, like have seen this photo before. A ton of editors will see it and be like, dude, why didn't you pick a different picture? Like, this doesn't look cohesive.
Fair.
So I was like, I'm not the only one calling her out. So whatever. It's okay. It's fine.
I'll bring it back to Instagram. Congrats on 10K. I saw that recently.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, just a little fancy.
Yeah. You know.
No, it's wonderful. I would say, like, online content, I gotta say, you also have one of the best link trees that I've seen. Or, like,
thank you. Yeah. I switched to, like, a different platform because Linktree was not my favorite.
Fair.
And one that involves, like, I could put my podcast so it looks cool, and I could put the YouTube video at the top.
Yeah.
And I think that was a good switch. And then it allows me to put like, if I have like a referral link, I can disclose it right then. I can put the code you can use. A lot of times people will forget, which yeah, I liked because Linktree was, unless I think you pay for it, it was very, very basic.
Oh, 100%.
Which is fine. But I liked this one for like other purposes, like disclosing referrals and codes and whatnot.
No, it's huge. It's huge. The aesthetic, you've got like the aesthetic down too, I gotta say. I feel like that was like curated a little bit over time, but you've like really, really hit it. That's one of the things I'm definitely most impressed about whenever I look through your stuff.
Thank you.
It's always fun. Of course. All right. So to bring back to SeaWorld for one second, because you have some information that I think is more interesting than almost anything else. A little bit frozen. I wonder if this is going to fix itself. Yes, it fixed itself. So you were in San Antonio, or you were going to San Antonio for a little bit. And then, if I'm right, you moved to Arizona and then started going to San Diego.
Yeah. San Diego is like the Mission Bay pod is the pod I am most comfortable with and understand the best.
More than
besides fair. Takara at San Antonio.
That's
because she stems from Mission Bay.
So. That's more than fair. So like one thing I can remember in the last podcast, even you and Taylor had, was like you were talking about learning about the whales, like each of the whales themselves. Like I know you brought up Corky before, at least on my page, and you've talked about a few other ones. But how was, like, how as going as a guest, so to speak? How did you get to learn the individual whales, or get to something like that?
Yeah. So at San Diego, as you like are walking into the stadium, they have little posters for each of the whale, so it'll say like Orchid, Makani, Aikaika, Keet, and it will give like a little, like sometimes their birthday or like a fun fact about them. So for Makani, it's like he was born on Valentine's Day, and that's his Aww. Little fact. Orchid's is she was the first baby Shamu at SeaWorld San Diego. I believe that is hers. All that kind of stuff. And so
that's
how kind of got exposed to the names. And then talking to trainers, they'll mention names and be like, oh, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. And then just doing more research and kind of learning more about each individual whale, because there's tons of sources online. Like I think Orcapedia has each of their profiles. There's other sites that will go into each of their profiles and pictures and how to ID them as well.
Oh, it's huge. I would say I've tried to dive into a little bit of the like the, I'll call it the online databases or otherwise, to learn a little bit more. But it, like you said, even there's always a couple.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to piece together information, you got to go through like four of them and you're like, oh, okay, I think I kind of get it. So that's more than fair.
Yeah.
How much, so SeaWorld San Diego is the one that I always went to as a kid. I haven't been to Orlando or San Antonio, just because my mom's side of the family is all from California.
Yeah.
How many of the trainers, or I'm gonna ask a specific question. When it was, I think 2009, I went and the Believe show was going on, and I got to be the kid from one of the shows.
I did that too.
It was
in 2007.
Oh, crazy. That is so special. I'm one of the things I'm looking for with that show. I want the wetsuit, like more than anything else.
Oh yeah.
I want that wetsuit so bad.
I've seen, so I think that they all, the parks still have every wetsuit, but I have seen some people somehow get their hands on them. And I am not, I think there's some kind of like sale they do with employees or something, but there are some people that have the different wetsuits from even other shows as well. Like okay. The old dolphin shows.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure how that works, but I would also like one.
Yeah. I get, cause I started surfing in high school. And so I started like getting into wetsuits a little bit more, and I can all like, that was the one that stood out in the back of my head, no matter what. I'm like, that's one of the nicest wetsuits that I've ever seen, at least visually. It's just, it's so striking.
Yeah.
But the trainer that was there, it was Trainer Art, I believe. I wonder if you like, if the name sounds familiar,
or if you, no, like, mine, you, mine was Trainer Matt.
Okay.
And I don't really know anything about older when I was younger.
Gotcha.
I know trainers now.
Oh, fair.
And I know like there are some that were there growing up, and like I have pictures of them from nice. Then and then even now.
Cool.
So, but I didn't like know any of them like super personally, because I was like a kid.
Yeah.
Who was,
like, I just showed up and enjoying myself. More than fair. More than fair. Yeah, I've been. One of the things I've tried to do recently is, like, I know some trainers will have a little bit of platforms or otherwise. I don't know if you follow Hazel McBride. She's out of...
I know her, but I don't follow her.
Okay, fair enough.
She has called me a hater before. It was very fun.
Oh, no! Why?
It was resolved, but basically okay. When J50 died, or when... It was either J50 when she died, or when, like, Princess... Nisa and some of the three individuals all were missing during a super pod. And so then we were like, oh, they're dead.
Gotcha.
She like didn't share, but then she always would post about how captive whales are ambassadors for wild whales. And so I replied to a story basically saying, well, why don't you talk about the Southern residents? And she basically reposted it. It was like, haters always say this, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay. She's like, I have post planned in advance. And I was like, yeah, I do two misses. Like, that's not like,
events
if
happen.
You're going to claim their ambassadors, share with your audience. And I think she had like the 10K followers then.
Yeah.
And so I was like, disrupt your schedule. It's really easy. And so I basically, then she was, then I like messaged, I was like, I did not, it's not hateful. I'm just genuinely saying maybe. So then it was resolved. It was fine.
Gotcha.
But I do laugh at that. But no, I don't follow her. I did message her after Skyla's death, though. And I did say that I hope she was doing well, because I know Skyla was her first whale she worked with. And she has like a necklace of for Skyla. So I messaged her and I was like, really sorry for your loss. And I hope you're okay. I thought of you when I saw the news. Just to like say like condolences.
Of course. Well, because and that kind of thing, I think even just acknowledging that relationship is something special at the least. And it's like, if you've said this multiple times, even just through this talk right now, it's like, it's just, you're not calling anybody out. You're mentioning shit.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's not meant to harm. It's not meant to hate.
Yeah. So like, I'm fine. I don't follow her, but like, I know I'm like, it's fine. But that's just a funny interaction I have had with her that I was
more than
fair.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Yeah. How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
One of the things I've gotten into recently, too, is like the histories of around here. So like the captures, and then more than that, too, like the start of a lot of the research. Mm-hmm. So you've talked a lot, like a lot with, I'll call it the like Southern resident community. And I'll say that as like Coextinction Film. I know they have connections with everybody. I know you were with PNW Protectors for a little bit. Is there a researcher or a person you met that, you met them and you were almost taken aback? You were like, oh, like I've read about you or otherwise?
I haven't met anyone yet.
Okay, fair.
Out here, there are definitely a few people that I am hoping to eventually, but I'm also kind of, I am more interested in terms of like research and the brunt of my time in invertebrates, and like mm-hmm. Kilbrook conservation is definitely like a passion. Fair. And I'm still doing it, of course, but a lot of other people there's a lot of people I've looked up to. I mean, I didn't even know some people existed that were like famous in the marine science world, like Ocean Ramsey's one, and I met her before I knew who the hell she was, and I was just like, oh, this is a very cool skinny blonde lady. And then my friend was like, you met Ocean? And I was like, didn't know her name, but I guess I'm in a picture with her. And she was like, this is Ron. And they showed me pictures. And I was like, I have no freaking idea who this person is. And then now she's like my friend. And I'm just like,
that's fantastic.
Kind of missed like a fangirl. I have one like kind of fangirly picture, but that's because I took one of my friends to a cleanup and she loves Ocean. Don't and she was it. Like, get in a picture with me. And like, I had to get in there and like do the awkward, like,
yay.
And I was like, I kind of know who you are now, and I think this is cool, like, ooh. Yeah. But I was like, okay, but it now I like friend, mentor,
cool,
she's, yeah. But past that, I think like Ken Balcom would be someone I would like to meet and talk to. Alexandra Morton, who,
yes, definitely,
her new book is great, but she also worked with Corky, which I'm just like, hello, I love Corky. Yeah, there are definitely a lot of people that I think I'd be like very humbled to meet in terms of the impact they've had on killer whales.
Definitely. Alexandra Morton, I haven't gotten her book yet. I need to order it. I've been like dumbed down with assignments, but I think I have to, like, right after this, I'm gonna have to. Because I also, too, I was watching It Wasn't Beneath the Surface, No, it definitely wasn't. What was it? Beneath the Sea, I think, was it was the name of it. It's like a 19... Like
Beneath the Surface is a book.
Beneath the Surface is a book.
The book.
That's Hargrove, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Good book, bad person.
Cheers. I haven't read it yet. I have a good library, but I don't have that one quite yet.
It is a very good book, but if I could, I would punch him in the face. Fair. But very good book. Very beautiful. Very deep into working at SeaWorld and having a relationship with the killer whale. Like, he explains, I don't know if he wrote it or if a ghostwriter wrote it. Yeah. Either way, it did a very great job at fleshing out his relationship with T'Kara. I mean, the book's dedicated to T'Kara.
Yeah.
And he also worked at Marineland France.
Okay.
And he had actually worked with Shuka before she was transferred to SeaWorld Ohio and then SeaWorld San Diego.
Okay.
And that whole pod, actually, he was one of the first people to train the employees there how to do waterworks. And so he talks about that.
Crazy. I would be really interested to read that specifically.
The water it's really good. I mean, he also talks about his waterworks, being in the water with whales, talks about like the individuals. I think he talks about Corky a bit. Kasaka is mentioned. Well, Kasaka has to be like Kasaka is T'Kara's mom. So she's of course brought up.
Yeah.
And then in the end, he does talk about what he had heard about Don's death from one of his friends who was Don's best friend at SeaWorld Orlando. And so that chapter is very sad, but very good because it shows like the parks were all immediately notified of what was happening and every park pulled trainers out of the water within like half an hour of it happening. And then since that day, no one got back in.
Yeah, that's one of the, I can only imagine what it must have been like to be at any of those parks during that day. Like that had to have been something different, to say the least.
So it's a very good book. I would definitely recommend finding it on Thrift Books. But yeah, he's an interesting person.
I'll keep my eyes out. I know I want to check. There's I don't know if you've been down to San Juan Island, but there's there's a little, if you ever get the chance to, there's a little thrift. It's not a thrift. It's like a used bookstore. It's called Serendipity. And it's like this little old fair. It's this little old house that looks like it's like out of like a fairy tale.
Yeah.
But you walk inside and the entire first floor is filled to the brim with books, like cabinets, kitchen sink, like everywhere.
That's true.
So I'll have to check out. There's a little whale section that I'll always go to. I got a number of these, but my favorite, my best purchase was the one on the bottom here. I got Nemu by Ted Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was...
Whidbey Island has a little bookstore that has Killer Whale books. That's where I got Of Orcas and Men and Puget Sound Whales for Sale.
Nice. I have to go check. I haven't been.
But Whidbey's where Puget Sound, the pen code captures happened, which I think is why they always carry that book on stock.
That would make
sense.
It's
like part of that history.
Yeah. There's a lot of places that I want to go up and down. I know I want to hit Pender Harbor at some point in time. Like just like the history down this coast is absolutely insane. The more I look into it. And it's just, I'm interested to see the places.
Whidbey has a small like dedication to the captures.
Mm-hmm.
In a sad way, that sounds like in a bad way. They have a piece of art of like it's indigenous art of killer whales, and then you go into, there's a little like shop on the end of a dock that has like a mini whale museum kind of thing where it basically just shares information about the Pen Cove captures.
Gotcha.
And it even, I think it specifically talks about Lolita or Tokite and the continuing battle with Miami Seaquarium to bring Tokite back.
Yeah.
And then it has like a little video, but I also was there during COVID, so it may have more that I never saw because COVID.
Well, I'm pretty sure the Langley Whale Centers are on there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like there are things that are available, but that's more than fair. It's I would definitely want to hit it at some point in time soon. I actually met somebody on TikTok who spent a lot of time down there, so hopefully I'll maybe even get it in.
The border opens.
Oh, fingers crossed. See, I think I actually just got my tickets. I think I'm going to be going home in a little bit. I'm very excited. It's like first time in a good while. Good while. I've spent a lot of time in Vancouver. I got to say, of all the places to get quarantined or like have to stay, this isn't bad.
Yeah, it's not horrible. Nice. I mean, we were, I know that we all just, it's back on lockdown for like 2 weeks, and sadly all the ferry tickets to Van Island are sold out, which I'm very sad about because I wanted to go tide pooling this weekend and the conditions were decent.
Fair.
It's fine. When we weren't on top of it and didn't get ferry tickets, that's the life that I have to realize that I am in right now, especially once the border opens, getting out to San Juan occasionally to explore. I want to go back to Whale Museum and the shops and all that kind of stuff, and eventually when Coextinction does premiere, possibly go to the premiere.
That would be fantastic.
The hope is that we can do it in Friday Harbor.
That would be awesome.
But
I don't know if you know. Yeah. COVID. No, Friday Harbor, like personally, that's like my, I'll call it my college trip. It's like, have you ever seen How I Met Your Mother?
I think my parents watched it crazy. So I've seen like bits.
Fair. There's this one bit where like Ted and Marshall will go down to, like, they're like, all right, we're driving 8 hours. We're going to go get like pizza in Chicago. And that's like, they're like, once a year they'll go do it. For me, like, I'll round up a group here. I personally don't have a car here, so every time I go, I have to rent. But when I do, I'm like, this is
kidnap a friend with a car.
Well, I see, I've done that once, but I only have a very few amount of friends here with cars, if only because a lot of my friends are also,
I have a car.
Whatever you want to go down. Next time you go, though, Haley's Sports Bar and Grill, you have to get the nachos.
Okay.
It's the number. If there is the Whale Museum's great, don't get me wrong, the nachos are the reason that I get people to
go. I know there's a jerky place that sells shark jerky, and my friend has gotten like blocked from them on Twitter and sent like a cease and desist email for posting about it, and I was that's all I can think about, and I kind of want to go and look. I probably won't do anything, but I think it's so funny how it went down. There's a lot of, like, I think I got ice cream while I was there at that little ice cream shop, like right by the ferry or by the docks.
So cute. Yeah. No, there's the two, because there's the little one that's up like solidly up in the one main road.
Yeah.
And then the very other small. Literally lined up. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot to do, and once the border opens, like, I want to go back to a lot of places.
More than fair.
But yeah.
When was the first time that you went to Friday Harbor?
Last summer. No. That's a lie. That's such a lie. Two summers ago. Last summer was when I saw whales. Two summers ago was when I went. And I went and did a Washington trip with my parents. We went to Forks. I love Forks. I don't like Twilight, but I love Forks. Okay. And I did not know at the time, but one of my really good friends, his mom is actually the author of Twilight. So I was like posting about going to Forks and like, just like joking about tons of, there's so much funny Twilight stuff there too. We did like the Twilight Museum. It was hilarious.
Oh my God. And I didn't realize there was a museum.
I went, it's like one room. But we went to like a restaurant then, and then we saw there was like an aquarium, and he messaged me. He's like, hey, I see you're up. Like, I live up here, we should hang out. But I was like, I'm literally like, my family, it's family trip. I can't do that. And then a year later is when I was like, someone asked me a question about him, and I was like, oh my gosh, is his mom the author of Twilight? And I texted him. He's like, you figured it out, because he doesn't tell people. And so I was like, I'm so embarrassed that I was like posting and like whatever. And anytime I post about Twilight, I then like have to joke, because I some of those movies are definitely comfort movies, and he'll be like, you're welcome.
Oh my
and
god,
so I love that's going hysterical. It's so funny. But yeah, and then he also loves whales, and so
that's huge.
That's also something, like, he's out there, so I want to go down and like do whale watching and hang out, and like, he's super involved in like cetacean stuff and marine science. Sick. And so it's very funny then, but I want to go back down once the border opens. I have other friends, and like, we want to go do like land-based whale watching is one thing, like
100%.
Just go sit down and like
wait enjoy. For hours. That's the wave.
But it's all just about the border opening, because if the border was open, I would definitely probably be down in Washington quite a bit, in terms of like just going to see friends and go to those places and do like mini road trips to go back to Whidbey for one, go to like Langley. Mm-hmm. And try to do like another Friday Harbor, go whale watching and all that kind of stuff.
100%. Also too, like, it is so easy Like from here, like the trip down to Seattle is like you can do Seattle's a day trip. Like you can do it.
Yeah, it's not so far. I mean, we live like 30 minutes from the border. And then yeah, past that, like you're at Gig Harbor. Gig Harbor is super cool as well. Like there's another aquarium I want to go visit at Gig Harbor.
Sick.
And it's not far. I mean, I told my friend, I'm like, when the border opens, we're doing Target trips because Canada is awful for not having Target.
How dare
and
it.
I miss it. And so I'm like, we'll go to Target and then like, I don't know, whatever, like Pike's Place is something cool as well. I love like the small shops there.
Yeah.
And there's a honey stand that I really want honey from because I love like charcuterie. We're off the topic of whales, but I love charcuterie.
That's okay.
And my best friend that lives in Seattle is like a master charcuterie board maker. And there's this honey place that has like the different flavored honeys. And it isn't a thing here. I've checked like every store and I've been trying to find like a local like flavored honey for like evergreen honey, lavender honey, and all that kind of stuff.
Vancouver just isn't there.
Definitely missing that.
No, that's fair. The one thing that we have that the States doesn't, though, is the one Krispy Kreme in all of Canada.
I need to find it because I'm quite disappointed by the Tim Horton options.
Oh, no.
Criminal, but they are not. There's not a lot.
It's not a lot. And it's also like, it's not good. Like Dunkin' Donuts has better donuts, which it pains me to say
something.
It is.
I'm fine with the Timbits. Like I can appreciate getting Timbits while we're driving somewhere because like I like the birthday cake ones, but like donuts, I'm just like,
they don't do it well.
These don't have a lot and they're not that good.
No. All right, so
even like a plain glazed anyway.
Yeah, no, fair. But like to plug a couple donut shops that you need to try here, then
yes.
Lee's Donuts on Granville Island, 100%. They're so great. It's dangerous. There was like a part during quarantine in the past couple months where me and my buddies would go like once every 10 days. We're like, we're going to pick up another dozen this week.
Well, that's perfect. You got to support like small local. I mean, that's better than, I mean, Tim Hortons is good. Like we'll get it when we go every week and we try to like go adventure and we'll stop and like grab breakfast because it's cheap and it's like, I don't want to cook in the morning. But I'm also like trying to find like local shops. Like I love macarons. And so I found a couple like little, and obviously it's not hard. A lot of French people are here that finding really good cafes has not been hard for me.
No, they're everywhere.
From Arizona, there's like nothing. I'm like, this is different. In comparison, there's not a lot of good taco places in Arizona, I'm like drowning. And so just getting, but that was one, like I definitely need some more donut options.
Yeah. Lee's, Krispy Kreme, and Lucky. Lucky Donuts is another. Lucky is like, it's like a really artisan donut place. It's like, real, it's like the kind of place you go like, I'm gonna get one because it's
isn't there like a shop in Portland that's like that, that's like well known for being like fancy
Voodoo.
Cool donuts.
No, maybe Voodoo would be my one guess.
I think that is, my aunt lives in Portland and I think she's talked about it.
Fair. I'm excited to go down to Oregon again. I went once in 2019, like fall of 2019, for an AJR concert, and the only reason we went to Portland is because I didn't buy my Seattle ticket fast enough. So I was there for like that night. Like we got there at 7, the concert started at 7:30, and then we left at midnight to drive back up.
Oh my goodness.
We tried
to do Cannon Beach engagement pictures during COVID. Ooh, okay. And we forgot that 4th of July was a holiday. And so me and my now husband and my best friend drove down to Cannon Beach from Seattle, which is like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And she's immunocompromised, but we were like, oh, like it shouldn't be too busy, COVID restrictions and whatever, and it'll be fine. It was so freaking busy. And we were all so uncomfortable, like couldn't even find parking. And people were walking around, no mask. We were just like, Oregon, what? And then we were like, why is it so busy? And we looked at it, we're like, oh, it's 4th of July tomorrow. And we had just forgotten completely. And we were like, that makes sense why it's so busy.
Fair.
And so I felt really bad. I was like, we can go. We can find something else. We tried. And the beach was just crammed. And I was just like, oh my gosh. We were literally so deep into like just forgetting that the 4th of July was a holiday.
That's fair.
And we drove home and watched Hamilton that night. We were like, okay. It was the, like that night Hamilton was coming out. And so we stayed up, but it was very funny. We were just like, what?
It happens. It happens.
That's my only experience with Oregon.
That's fair. I'm like, everybody's in quarantine planning out their next trips or whatever. I want to go up. I want to see a bunch of the orca, like the historical orca spots in Canada, but I want to go down to Oregon for the Free Willy spots.
Yes.
Because there's a couple in Astoria that are like,
Oregon also has Twilight spots for fun facts. A lot of Twilight was filmed in Oregon. I know that because the, like, if you've seen Twilight, the Cullen House, which is like that ugly mansion, is in Oregon.
Really?
And people will go, and you can't go in, obviously, but like people will go take pictures outside of it.
Too good. All right, so we're just inching up on an hour, so we'll wrap it up for right now. Kendra, I cannot thank you enough for coming on here. Before we head out, do you want to plug your TikTok, your ads, whatever, all the things that you do?
Thank you. I'll probably just tag, I prefer Instagram for a platform, Interval Candy, and then I do have my podcast, not to compete with you.
That's okay.
Intertidal Talks, I try to talk to different people in the field. My most recent episode is very popular about Seaspiracy, where I talked to a fishery scientist. Mm-hmm. We talked about our issues with that movie. And then Marine Bio Movie Club from Taylor Casey Diving on YouTube. That is very fun. Mm-hmm. And she also just posts other content if you like sharks and diving and whatnot. But every other Monday, so I think this Monday coming up, there should be a new episode. Huge. So keep an eye out for those every other Monday. Got 47 Meters Down, we have Seaspiracy, and then we are going to be doing that mermaid mockumentary from National Geographic.
Fun.
It's so stupid, but it's called Mermaids a Body Found or something, and people on TikTok have been spreading videos from it thinking it's a real documentary.
Nice.
So we're gonna watch it and laugh and be like, this is entirely fake, mermaids aren't real, and just talk about that. It's a very funny documentary, though. It's made to be fake, but people don't realize it's fake.
People need to read for those contexts. Take everything with a grain of salt, people. Come on.
Yeah. So that's where I was just like, that's what I want to plug is those things.
Awesome. But
yes. Thank you.
Of course. Definitely be sure to check those out. In terms of podcast competition, there is no such thing. There is no such thing as too much marine bio TikTok. And right now, if anybody wants to get onto this one, if only to hear about all of the donuts that Vancouver has to offer and the cool things down the coast, that's good enough.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I think, there's a lot of different niches to fill in this area. I mean, different podcasts talk about different things. And as long as I feel like you're not directly copying everyone who's interviewed, it's fine.
Yeah, at the end of the day. Well, thank you so much once again. I'm Fred the Orca Man, and have a good one.
I'd like to thank Kendra once again for coming on. That was a wonderful conversation we've gotten to have, and I know for a fact that her and I are getting ready and souped up to go to the island and going whale watching a little bit later this month. So if you want to keep in touch with that, be sure to go check out both of our profiles. Yesterday, in fact, was actually the 51st anniversary of the Penn Cove captures, which is an event that occurred back in 1970 down in Washington, where nearly all of the known southern residents at the time were gathered into one cove. I believe seven whales were taken, and five whales died during that particular process. So a little day of remembrance for that. If you'd like to learn more, go to Intertidal Kendi's page that's on Instagram. That is Kendra's page there. Her most recent post is going to be about everything that went on during that time and different people's involvement throughout it. Otherwise, you can check out this podcast on YouTube and all of your other favorite streaming platforms, including the CITR website. And you can find me on any social media platform as The Orca Man. Thanks for diving in with me today, and hope you have a good one.
Flayed, spray my faucet corn, my blister horn flung into the day. Why oughta storm my gristle formed dung into the shirt doused bed where socks loom my fizzled norm sung inside the dirt house.
This is John M. Bennett, and you are listening to CITR FM 101.9 shirks that Vancouver. Dead British hair Columbia,
mocks the
Canada.
Room, my ray, my osteo floor, my glistened shorn mug flayed.
So give me purpose, I'm not for this. If I'm happy, then I'll allow it, but I've stopped searching.